Hey, thanks for listening to this Marlins Rewind. It's the Week in Review. If you missed it, we have it. Jose Fernandez sets the single-season strikeout mark with still a month to go. Jeff Francoeur joins the club, and JT Realmuto talks about the playoffs. Hall of Fame voice of the Marlins Dave Van Horn and Glenn Geffner present the highlights as always. I'm Boomer Dangle. Delighted to have you. It's officially time to go.
Up, up, and away!
The Kansas City Royals visited Marlins Park for the first time ever last week. They won Monday night, but ran into Jose Fernandez on Tuesday.
Two balls, two strikes to Colon. The pitch swung on and missed strike three, and there it is.
That was Jose's 209th strikeout of the season, tying him with Ryan Dempster for the single-season K record. Then, Jose took his chance and claimed the record for himself.
From the set, Jose delivers, swung on, miss. That's all for Gordon, and fans, that is a record-setting strikeout for Jose Fernandez. Number 210 on the season, and he becomes the number one single-season strikeout pitcher in Marlins history. He's passed Ryan Dempster's 209. That's 210 for Jose.
Here's the difference. It took Dempster more than 226 innings to amass his total. As we talk right now on August 29th, Jose Fernandez has struck out 213 batters in under 150 innings. Jose's seven scoreless willed the Marlins to a 3-0 win over Kansas City. The Marlins made a midweek trade for 12-year major leaguer Jeff Francoeur. Upon his arrival Thursday, Frenchie couldn't stress enough his excitement to play for this team right now.
I think it means a lot to be able to come to a place, A, where they want you, but B, where you're in a pennant race, man. And it's, you know, there's nothing better than that. You know, that's why you play. And I know it's been a while here since these guys have been in it too. And, you know, I'm sure the excitement you can see in the, you see just walking in the locker room, the difference. It's a lot of fun.
He'll play some outfield and serve as another right-handed bat off the bench.
For me, like I said, to come over here and do what I can, whether it's coming off the bench, hitting against lefties, doing really whatever they ask me to do, you know, you get excited, man. I mean, it was a long day today. I had to fly from, you know, Phoenix to Houston, then Houston to here, and we had delays and all that. But it's like, you know, you get off and you're just excited. You don't really care because you're excited. You're coming to the park, you know, what, a game and a half out of the wild card and a chance to do something.
With no Giancarlo in right field, how does manager Don Mattingly plan to navigate the position?
I'd say more of a platoon in that standpoint. I know each has hit lefties better than righties, but if we're going to get him days off, it's going to it'll probably be against the lefty because of, you know, the combination of Jeff hitting lefties.
Francoeur played in the 2010 World Series with the Rangers. He's almost universally loved by Major League players, and that played into the Marlins' decision.
The one thing I know Michael talked about and we all talked about is we wanted to make sure that we kept the integrity of the clubhouse was an important factor. We wanted to make sure we were bringing in a guy who's a good teammate, who's going to be a guy who comes to play, not just bringing a guy in that doesn't really want to be here. So I feel like you want to bring a guy in that's excited about being here.
Speaking of Giancarlo, he's hoping to get back and help the team at the end of this year, but he's also thinking ahead to next season.
Having 7-8 months off of baseball last year really messed up my overall clock of, you know, having this 4 months off, 3 months off, and then getting back into it. So that really messed me up.
With the hope of returning, Giancarlo's staying in shape, which, as we know for him, is pretty good shape.
Run my body as if I'm still in season until the season's over. So everything's going to be done to be back, and if not, I'm still going to have my body prepared either way.
But in the short term, the Marlins will deploy Ichiro and Francoeur in right.
It feels good to be here. You know, it's been a tough year in Atlanta, obviously, with rebuilding and doing stuff, and I think, you know, I'm excited to just come over here and have some at-bats that are mean something, competitive, get the juices flowing. And, you know, obviously I've played against the Marlins forever and have obviously a lot of respect for a lot of these guys that play over here. And, of course, Mattingly and just the whole staff. You know, I'm excited.
JT Realmuto is still batting above 300 on the season. He has been since June 15th.
Here's the 2-2, and here's a line drive single out into left center. The center fielder has to go a long way to cut it. JT's on his way to second, so is the throw, but JT's in there standing up. Just ahead of the throw. He beat that play. He's got a double, and that's his 26th double of this season.
We know catcher can be the most grueling position at which to play an entire season. Realmuto started 100 games behind the plate this year, but he's not feeling too fatigued right now.
Physically, you get a little tired, but the fact that we're still in it to this point makes it a lot easier. You get that adrenaline rush when the game starts, so you don't feel it as much. You actually feel it more after and before the game than you do during. So that's something I'm looking forward to through September, is being able to play those meaningful games and get those meaningful at-bats.
JT finished 3-for-7 against the Padres with 4 runs scored over the weekend. 2 seasons ago, Realmuto was part of the 2014 Jacksonville Suns.
Now Realmuto swings, high drive, deep to left field, and gone! JT Realmuto with a solo home run, and the Suns lead the Blue Wahoos 1-0 top of the first.
That's the voice of the Suns, Roger Hoover. Those Suns went on a wild August run to make the playoffs and claim a Southern League championship. A title that, according to Hoover, wouldn't have happened if Realmuto wasn't in AA at that exact time.
He was absolutely the heart and soul of that team. The Suns had an incredible stretch to get to the playoffs. Jacksonville had to win the last 10 games of the regular season, and that means in the Southern League, that's 2 series. You have to get 2 sweeps. Jacksonville did that. Realmuto started 9 of those 10 games and then caught nearly every game of the playoffs, where Jacksonville was able to win a Southern League championship. And the end of season run from the regular season to the playoffs, Jacksonville in the last 17 games went 16-1. And that was so much because of JT Realmuto, not only just on and off the field, just really organizing this ball club, really having a good feel in the clubhouse every time. And he was no question leader.
Albeit on a smaller scale, JT experienced and learned from the hot streak and playoff run of 2014.
In anything I do in life, look, I want to win, and we're all here. We're all here playing baseball every day. We're here all season long. We don't want to do it just to go home at the end of the season, you know. It means a lot more when you get into the playoffs and you play those meaningful games in September up to the playoffs. So that's what we're here striving for, and I feel like as a team, we're all looking for the same thing.
Jeff Mathis is also known for his ability to control the game from behind the plate. He's batting .304 in 8 games this month, too. As we get to the late innings of this podcast, let's talk bullpen. In his second major league season, Kyle Bearclaw has pitched in more games than any other Marlin this year.
Strike 3 called. He thought it was down and in. He's rung up by Pat Holberg, and Bearclaw puts out the fire in the 7th.
His next strikeout will be number 100 on the season. He has 23 Ks in August. That's tied for 2nd most of any reliever in any month in franchise history. And it may not always be smooth, but Fernando Rodney hasn't allowed a run in 7 straight calls to the pen. Sure, he averages more than 21 pitches per outing over that time, but the outcome to him is never in doubt.
I feel comfortable when I come to the game. I know I have an idea what I'm going to do sometime when I come here. Tonight I feel great. I command my father for both sides, the home play and the changeup. It's great tonight.
With A.J. Ramos back in the pen, the Marlins regain 2 of their All-Stars for the late innings. The Marlins dropped the last 2 games to San Diego, and now they go out on the road. After Sunday afternoon's 3-1 loss to the Pods, Don Mattingly spoke at length about the next month and the final month of this 2016 campaign.
We're a young club, in a sense, in a pennant race for the first time, and I talked about it probably a couple weeks ago, that we're going to find out about our guys. We're going to find out, you know, how hard it is to play at this time of year, when every game counts, when every at-bat counts, every pitch you throw counts, you know, every run you give up, or not able to get in from third base, or, you know, move a runner to third or something like that. They all have a chance to cost you a game, and they feel terrible right now. Hopefully we find it out in a good way that we're making the adjustments and we're doing what we need to do to win games. But that remains to be seen. I think we've been fairly fortunate with teams around us in this wild card race. They've let us kind of stay in it. You know, if you say in spring training we're going to be at August 28th and you're going to be a game and a half at the start of the day, in a wild card race, and you have a chance to get hot and play great baseball down the stretch and get yourself in the playoffs. We would all sign up and say, okay, we're good. You know, we haven't been there in a while. So it's something that's still attainable. And as bad as it looks right now in this storm that we're little storm that we're in, it's still doable.
Miami travels to New York for a National League series and then to Cleveland to finish this year's interleague schedule. The team needs four good ones against the Mets this week. The Marlins are 5-7 against that rival this year. Like the Marlins, the Mets are dealing with a reconfigured starting rotation. All games in New York start at 7:10 this week, with Marlins on deck at 6:40. Dave and Glenn bring the action straight to you on MLB.com, the MLB at Bat app, 940 Wins, and the Miami Marlins Radio Network.